to be where he was. I thought he was going to say something up here, but he didn't say anything. But maybe another time. He was in Knoxville. Is that right, Jason? Or okay. And a place that he spent some time, faith-based. And there was 10 guys down there. Yes, thank you. I can't say what you're supposed to say.
Yesterday, for those of y'all that don't know, you know, a lot of y'all are new. And you see me in the praise band up here. I just want you to know that it wasn't a little over 2 years ago that I was in rehab for drug and alcohol addiction. And this past weekend, yesterday, marked the 10-year reunion that the camp had been open, the rehab that I went to. It's a faith-based called Our Master's Camp. It's run by Providence Ministries out of Dalton, Georgia. And so they invited everybody that's been through the program within the last 10 years that's still clean, that was available to come to the program and just offer the guys some encouragement, the guys that are in the program now. And they there was about 10 of us showed up from all across the country. And man, I'm telling you, these guys, it was just something I've experienced in my life that will change me forever. I mean, see these guys that are where I was at one point in time, and they're wanting, the reason they're there is because they're wanting to fix it. They're not there because, you know, they just want to hang out with no cell phone and be locked up in a room for 90 days. They're there because they want to fix the problem that they're having. And it just pumped me up so much to see a church full. And it was we had a church service at the beginning, and this church on top of this mountain in Pikeville, Kentucky, or Pikeville, Tennessee, man, loves these people so much. They're there every Wednesday night and every Sunday and Sunday night for service, man. And they've even got them like their own section, got their own everything, and have their own night for these guys to give their testimonies, have their own Bible study class, everything for these guys, man. And this church just pours so much into these people trying to help them out. And it don't matter if it's your first time through or your 10th time through the program, that they are just there to love these people, man. And it is such a blessing to me to get to go back and see these people, man, and just say, hey, you know, you can do this with God. If you pour into it, he'll pour into you, and you can do it.
Amen. Isn't that awesome? Amen. If I don't say this, my wife, Kathy, is going to get at me. But in your visitor's packet, or if you're here this morning, you may have gotten the information card. And if you don't care, fill that out and turn it into somebody. Turn it into Sister Betty or Heath or Mrs. R or somebody here. And that's important. We like to pray and stay in contact with those things, but that's an awesome thing. So if you can, remember to do that, okay? Is it all right if I just be who Jesus needs me to be this morning? Amen. So I don't have to put on a show that way. I don't have to try to entertain you. I don't have to make you happy, because guess what? I'm not going to make everybody in this room happy. That's not what God called me to do. If I'd done that, I'd went up to McDonald's and got about 150 Happy Meals this morning and say, be happy. But that's not my purpose. My purpose is to give you truth. And to know that truth is what you need to help you be free. Amen? So I'd like for you to turn. We're going to go to some strange places in the scripture this morning. But I know that God is about it. I know that God is about it. You know, I look up there, and sometimes we got to be careful here because I don't want to single people out, because this is all for the glory of God. But I'm saying that God delights in using people. That's what He desires to do. That's why He created you, so He could use you to bring great glory to Him. So this morning, there was a young man that really, I know he's had a lot of trouble in his life, a troubled past, but I really believe this, that he got a hold of the good deal. I believe he got a hold of the right thing. And so him and a couple friends, Stephanie and Josiah, think about that name, Josiah, man. That was a king's name, not just any king, but a powerful king in the word. But Wes and them, not before last, over at Pound somewhere over in that area, they decided they were going to have a Bible study that night. And they invited two friends. Are those friends here today? They went to another church. But they had needed direction and, most importantly, needed God in their life. So they met, and Wes and this family invited them to come down to their home. They opened their home, and they opened the Word of God, and they just shared their faith. These are not theologians. You got to understand that. God's not interested in your theology. He's interested in your heart. You don't have to be perfect for God to use you. God just wants to use you. Amen? I don't see anybody perfect in this room. For all those who thought you were perfect, sorry, just bust your bubble. But you're not perfect. But God chooses to use imperfect people to do a greater work. So He used this little family and this on fire believer, just got a hold of the Lord, fresh got a hold of the Lord, and they didn't have theology, they didn't have doctrine, they just opened the Bible, and they shared what God had done in their heart, and they tried to use Scripture as best they could, directed by the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Out on their porch before that family left that night, Friday night, this couple, this man and his wife, gave their heart to Jesus right there on that porch. That's right. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. It's not just about a little club gathering here on Sunday morning. It's about changing the world. One soul at a time. One life at a time. Reaching humanity and giving it your all. Everybody shout all. Let me ask you a question. I want you to be honest. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to raise your hand. I don't want you to raise your hand. But let me ask you a question. Do you hold back when it comes to your faith? You don't have to say anything. You don't have to nod your head or even... Just answer that. Do you hold back? And sometimes our holding back is not necessary because we don't want to be about it. Sometimes we just need greater understanding, greater light to the fact. But sometimes it is because we are afraid. Well, there are different things that keep us from holding back. But I want you to turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter 8. Amen. I tell you what, and I'm not going to be in your presence very long, but if I could say something, if I could tell you how my physical body is feeling right now, I'm shaking. And it is because of reverence, not a bad scare like I'm afraid of God. Even though there are times, I was sharing this with maybe Josh this past week, there are times that I have cringed in fear and respect and awe of God, because to think that I am responsible for what goes on behind this pulpit. I'm responsible for the word that comes out of here. So it's not that we are experts at it, but the fact is we got to be truthful about it. We got to be truthful about it. So as you're turning there, if you have the word of God open to Exodus chapter 8, how many has it open to Exodus chapter 8? If you do, say amen. And if you want to stand, listen, if you don't stand and you can't stand, this is not a religious thing, so I don't want you to feel like, ooh, I didn't stand, I can't stand, so does that mean I'm not any good? That just means you can't stand. Okay? Hallelujah. One verse. Everybody say Pharaoh. So Pharaoh said, I'll let you go, Moses. I'm going to let all the people, I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to let all these people go that's causing me a lot of trouble, causing me a lot of hardship. You've been expensive on our government and upon our land, and I'm getting tired of this. I'm paraphrasing. That's not there. Yes, sir. You're looking right now, like I said, where is that? Okay, just hang on. Just hang on. So Pharaoh said to Moses, and you know the story. You know the children of Israel being in the land of Egypt. Okay, but this is the verse. Pharaoh said, I'll let you go that you may go and sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. In other words, you can go and you can make your sacrifices and you can try to worship your God, but you have to stay in the land of Egypt to do that. You can go, but look what he said. You can go into the wilderness, only you shall not go very far. He said, don't go very far away. Intercede for me. Pray for me. In other words, go to your God for me. But listen, you can go, Moses, but don't go too far. Everybody sit down. Thank you all for this morning. Mrs. R is not in here, is she? Okay, she's got Bean. Can I share? I wanted her to share this story because she is really good at it. But for those who know history this morning, there was a great Spanish explorer named Hernandez Cortez. I believe I've got that right. For those, I may have missed the first name. But anyway, Cortez. Everybody's heard of Cortez. He was a Spanish explorer. In the 1500s, he brought a group of men with him to a new land. He landed at Veracruz, and there, this was a new world, a new place. And what he wanted to do, and his mission was to do, was to take all the land that they come to explore, take it for their king, take it for their country, and take it for God. And most of those explorers put a cross. You know the stories of there, how they put the cross. But this mission of this explorer and this warrior and those who came with him was to come and take and possess a new land and fight whatever enemies that would stand in their way. So in his journey there, as they landed, a strange thing happened, Chris. A strange thing happened. He gave the orders for his men to go in the harbor. Wasn't a go in out into the water and burn every ship there. Burn every ship in the harbor. Don't save one or two, but burn every ship. You'll think that was the strangest thing ever was. And you got to remember that one of his men blatantly laughed at their commander for such an order as this. He pulled his sword and thrust it into his chest, killing that man on the spot. We think of that as being crazy and radical. How was that he would take a man's life and burn their ships? Because this army had come to do something. This army had come to complete their mission, and they didn't want anybody to get the idea there was a safety net and there was a place to leave in case it didn't work out. And a lot of times when we come to the faith, we come to the knowledge of Jesus, and we surrender our life, we still hang on to something as though if this doesn't work out, I'll just go back the same way I came. And let me tell you, a lot of believers don't embrace and don't grow in your spiritual life is because you've still got a safety net. You're still hanging on. When Jesus says, if you come after me, you've got to be willing to give it all. Everybody shout all. You see, you've got to be willing to go all the way. Not part of the way. Not halfway. Not three-fourths of the way. Not 99% of the way. You've got to be willing to follow Christ with all your heart. Everybody shout, all my heart. So, let me ask the question here this morning. You know what? This is something to remember. This guy's been in the news. His name is Nick Walanda. How many's ever heard of that name? Well, this guy does crazy radical stuff, man. I think about this. This man walks tight ropes. He's walked across Niagara Falls. How many seen that? You've seen that on the news. This is a modern-day guy. He's 36 years of age. His father before him walked tight ropes. But the thing about this man is the extreme of the challenges that he takes. The extreme of the challenges that he even sets before himself. Because supposedly he's a Christian. But yet this man is about the challenge. This man is about the fear factor. This man is about going beyond what is comfortable and what is just ordinary and doing something extreme. So this man walks Niagara Falls. Here a while back, this man walked between two skyscrapers in Chicago, Illinois. This man is going to go to the Mideast, and he's going to walk between those two tallest buildings over there somewhere in the Middle East. I don't even remember the name of it. But what I'm trying to say, this man is willing to take the risk. This man is willing to risk all and step out there. And you've got to understand, when he takes that step, there's no going back. Jesus said, if any man come to me and take up the cross and look back, he is not fit for the kingdom of God. You don't take that first step, that powerful risk, and follow Jesus and try to look back behind you. You step beyond your fears. You step beyond your limitations, your physical limitations. You say, that's hard to figure out. There's such a thing called faith. Everybody shout faith. Faith is not knowing or not being able to understand all the situation and the circumstances and still going on anyway. See, if you could wrap your mind around it, it wouldn't be faith. It wouldn't be faith. You've got to understand, the Bible says that a carnal mind cannot discern the things of God. You can't walk and follow Jesus and try to understand him. There are people that have never committed to follow Jesus because they simply say, I don't understand it. You'll never understand it. I don't know a theologian that'll understand it. God is just wanting you to step out in faith and follow him. Amen. Don't try to figure him out. People for centuries have been trying to figure out. God doesn't make sense. Jesus don't make sense. The life of Christ and the life of a Christian doesn't make sense. Nothing makes sense if you think about it. As far as the world is, as far as we can discern in our mind, nothing makes sense. That's why those that spoke of Jesus said, way that he's doing, this has never been done that way before. We get so accustomed to our lives, our fitted lives and our perimeters, that we leave out the challenge. We leave out the faith. We leave out the risk. We leave out the powerful blessing. If we just simply trust God, don't try to figure him out. Just follow him. Nothing makes sense about a man. God speaking to a man by the name of Noah and say, go build me a boat out in the middle of the desert. Tell me me what made sense about that, Kathy. Nothing made sense about that. It had never rained before, Grant. Listen, it had never rained before. We got to understand that God asks us to do things that just simply don't make any sense. To the world, this doesn't make sense when you're sitting here in a room full of misfits who were ostracized and excommunicated and kicked off the boat by different religions and different people. But yet, nothing makes sense. Nothing makes sense. Nothing makes sense about that. God didn't say it had to make sense to be real. Because you can't figure it out doesn't mean it's not real. I'm doing things that I wasn't taught years ago. I'm preaching things that I wasn't taught. I'm experiencing things that I haven't been taught. You know why? Because there was a time in my life that Jesus just said, trust me. So I stepped out on the wire. And I'm walking. And I'm trusting because I have a goal. I have a mission. And that's to complete that. Years ago, decades ago, another famous tightrope, high wire acrobat, walked to Niagara Falls, and he'd done it many times, and he looked at his audience one day, and he says, do you believe today I can walk across that? They all shouted, yes! Woo! Yes, we've seen you do it. We know you can do it. Just do it again. Well, he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you, sir, to come out here and get in this wheelbarrow, and I'm going to walk the rope, and I'm going to push you across it. And he said, whoa! That's a different story. That's a different story. You got to understand that God and following Christ is not about the comfortableness. It's not about the ease. It's not about being convenient. There's nothing about Christ that's necessarily convenient. There's nothing about following Him that's necessarily comfortable. You got to understand the Western version of following Christ is a lot different from the reality of following Christ. We identified as apple pie, baseball, basketball, a car, two dogs, picnics on hot summer days, 4th of July. We relate following Christ to those events. But it has nothing to do with following Christ. Not that He's not about us having those things or enjoying those things. But to truly follow Christ is sacrificial, my friend. They shall sacrifice. Pharaoh said, you can go, but not too far. You can go to church. I don't care if you go to church. Don't go too far of that stuff. I've heard people tell me that. My own family said one time, you're going to go mad, son. When I was filled with the Holy Spirit, it was totally different from their theology or their doctrine. But when Kathy and I sat in the living room one day and explained to them this powerful blessing, there was wonder about their face. They didn't say we were flaky, we lost our minds. They simply listened to what we said. What they knew was that it was real. Not that they understood it, not that they knew it, not they understood the doctrine or theology behind it. They just knew there was a change in their kid's life. Let me tell you something. Quit spending your time trying to preach at people and convince them what you've got is real. If you'll stay real, they'll ask the questions and they'll wonder why you're different. You got to be serious about the following. You can go, but don't go too far. Listen to a little music. That's fine. Ooh, we like it. But don't go too far with that. Praise music is good, but just don't lift your hands in the air. That's going too far. Whew. Wow. Oh, Listen, you can pat your foot a little bit, but just don't start dancing around. Don't just start. That's going too far. Listen, if you want to put a dollar in the offering plate every now and then, no problem with that. That's just being good, because you know God's good to you. But oh, but this tithing thing, that's going way too far. That's going way too far. Let me tell you something. God is looking for believers who say, God, you lift up the gate and I'll go through regardless. Oh, it's all right to be saved. Maybe it's all right to be a little religious, but don't go to your friends. Don't share your faith. Don't sit down with them and tell them Jesus is the best thing that could ever happen to you, because that's going too far. That's going too far. Oh, listen, it's all right to go to church on Sunday, but listen, oh, don't, this prison stuff, man, that's going too far. This going to the homeless down and reaching out to the homeless, that's going too far. Listen, that reaching lost kids, listen, changing their life and changing their path, changing their destiny, that's going too far. God's looking for some people to say, God, you lead me and I'll follow you. Amen. All the way. Everybody shout all the way. Are you all the way in? You better watch when you say that. You better watch when you say that. All the way in is more than going to church. It's more than listening to K-Love. It's more than singing a few songs. All the way in means there's no restraint. There's no restraint. Let me say this. I've done a lot of self-checking my inventory before. Saying, God, am I all in? Am I all in? Am I all about it? There are people in recent months that have died for the faith. See, we don't really understand that. We try to bury our head in the sand and just think that's not us. That's not a part of us. But that is all a part of following Jesus. That can be all a part of following Jesus. Then you say, well, woo, now, Jesus didn't say anything about that. Yes, he did. He said, take up your cross. Part of that cross may be laying your life down. You don't know that. You know, lots of times it's about, I'll follow Jesus as long as it don't cost me anything. As long as it's not inconvenient. As long as I've got time. It's like we try to incorporate God into our busy life. That's not how it works. It's about us taking our life and putting it in His life and following. And don't ask questions. Just follow. Just follow. Wow. Why do people hold back? I want you to think about the word all. Think, this is not going to last long. Some of you, maybe I need mine arrested. So if you've already looked at your watch, you need it arrested right now. In the name of the Lord. Let me say this. If there is something, someone, or anything between you and God, it's closer to God than you are. Today, you need to get it out of the way. You say, I got problems. That's the reason I can't follow Jesus. Then your problems are bigger than your God, or you're looking at it that way. There is nothing too big for God. No challenge too great for Him. Why do we hold back? What are people afraid to let go of? Oh, man. God told Moses, He says, you had to leave this land. This is not your destiny. This is not your purpose to worship me here. You got to understand that some of the animals they wanted to sacrifice was totally against the Egyptian religious culture at that time, and against the religion and all that stuff. So you got to understand that they couldn't even do it properly. They couldn't do it effectively. You can't effectively follow Jesus trying to hang on to your old life. You can't hold on to Jesus with one hand and hold on to the world with the next hand. It won't work together. God is all about progressing you in the faith. He is all about you following Him in steps. It's not like He knows you're going to figure it out all at one time. But God is all about letting go of your past and simply putting your faith and trust in the one who has power to get you to your course of destination. Oh, man. You can go, but not too far. You can go, but not too far. You know, there's some young believers here in this room this morning that have told me things that their family has said personally to them or friends. Man, you guys go to church a lot, don't you? Wow, you all do too much down there at that church. I've heard that. I've heard people tell me that they've been criticized because they've done too much or doing too much or about this too much. Listen, God is all about your family. He's all about your family. Oh, listen, don't stress yourself out. You trying to figure out a way to take care of your family. You take care of God and He'll take care of your family. Oh, they've been criticized sometimes because it makes no sense to them. Makes no sense. What we're doing makes no sense to the world. That's why we're often criticized. So I want you to think about something just a minute. Please, think about this just for a minute. Oh, man. King David. Everybody say, David. I need four men. One, two, three. Four. You're a lady, but that's okay. All right, I want you to come back here. Two in the front, two in the back. Right back there in the back. Two in the front, two in the back. Right back here, guys. Two in front of each other. It's like you're carrying a pole, stave on each end. God told Israel, He told David, under David's kingship, you got to understand, there was more than two powerful things that David did as a king. Number one, he united the kingdoms and put them under one rule and one king. David united the southern kingdom to the northern kingdom, and he became king over them all. And king over all was the king that he worshiped, the Lord God Almighty. But you understand there, he also did something that was powerfully important. He restored worship. He restored true worship in the nation of Israel. You got to understand that at that time there was something missing in Israel, and it represented God. It was called the Ark. Everybody say Ark. You watched Indiana Jones before? You ever seen the episode, the one about the lost Ark? How many's ever seen that before? Somebody not raising your hand like you say, well, if I won't raise my hand, somebody going to think. But anyway, they were in search of the Ark. There are people today that know and claim they know where the Ark is. Well, I don't know where it is, but God does. But what was important about that ark was what it represented. It represented the presence of God, because God's presence was out of place. There are some of you in this room this morning, your faith is out of place. Your heart, your mind may be wanting in the right place, but your heart is in the wrong place. Because what's happening this morning isn't about you, it's about Him. And if it's really about Him, then it can be all about you. But it's got to be about Him first. So God told David to bring the ark back to Jerusalem, the place where worship, He wanted to restore worship to Sal. And this is what He did. He did it the first time, but He did it the wrong way. He tried to create something in himself, and it didn't work out. And there was a man lost his life because you remember the cart. Then leaned over and he stood his hand to steady it, and the man dropped dead. You know the story. And I know that maybe some people in here don't understand the story, but just listen to where we're going. So finally they left it at a man by the name of Obed-Edom, his home, and he left it there for 3 months. And the Bible said the ark stayed in his house for 3 months. And his whole house was blessed. Let me tell you how your household's going to get blessed. If Jesus is the centerpiece of your house is going to get blessed. Some of us need to take ourselves off the throne and put Jesus in the throne. I'm not trying to be weird. I'm not mad. I angry. Don't think because I raised my voice I'm being angry. I'm passionate. Everybody say all. You can be passionate and not be raising your voice. You can still be passionate. So don't relate it to what, because I'm screaming. That's just the way I roll, okay? If you got a problem with that, take it up to Dad, okay? He's the one that made me who I am, okay? Brandon, if you've got a problem, just take it up with Dad, brother. There's another radical. There's another screamer over there. Over there on the end. See that guy over there that I had to yank a smile out of right now? So here he was. They went back to Obed-Edom's house. And they transport this ark the way God originally designed them to transport it. Two in the front and two in the back. Dakota, get the trumpet real quick, brother. Like 5 seconds. One, two, three, four. Come here before them, right here. So what they did, they had these staves. In the middle of the stave was the Ark of the Covenant. In that ark was the original commandments. It was the bread that they collected in the wilderness to remind them of God's law, remind them of God's word, remind them that God would always take care of them. Listen, friends, Sunday after Sunday, God reminds you that it's He who provides for you. It's Him who takes care of you, not you yourself. You couldn't even get yourself out of a bag if you needed to yourself. If somebody just folded down and you try to get out, you couldn't do that yourself. I'm not being insulting. I'm not being condescending. I'm just saying we have no power or might in our own strength and ability to do this. That's why we need the Lord. Somebody say, I need the Lord. So here they were. You got to understand, David was excited. The Bible said in 2 Samuel chapter 6 that David knew what a great day this was. He was bringing the presence of God back to Jerusalem. You could say he got a little excited. And David and the Lord just had church out there in the streets of Jerusalem. Because the Bible said they all brought back the Ark of the Covenant. Everybody shout all. You know what? This is amazing. God will help one person in this room and the person next to, it's like boom. Didn't even register. We got to all be about it. On the day of Pentecost, they were all in one mind, in one accord. And the Spirit of the Lord descended that day. And what a powerful thing. But here was David. Listen, I'm not going to be long, okay? Here was David. He marched a few spaces with the Ark of the Covenant behind him. Are you ready to march? Look here, man. They're carrying the Ark. They're carrying the presence of the Lord. Joe, you realize what a powerful thing is to be in the presence of God? When we're in the presence of God, lives are changed. Miracles take place. People are set free. So David knew that. So they marched a few spaces. This is what the Bible said in 2 Samuel 6. That David danced before the ark. He danced before the Lord with all his might. And they shout, oh! Some of you came in this room today holding back. I'm going to be reserved. No such word in the Bible is reserved. There are things like caution. There are things like knowing the Spirit, discerning. There's no such thing that's robbing your passion from God, because there's a thing called pride that gets in your way. There's a thing called anger. There's a thing called problems that stand in your way. Kevin, David danced before the Lord. This is what he was in, his linen ephod. In other words, he took his robe off. Hear me, please. The enemy wants you to look at something else right now. I promise you, he does. Because he don't want you to go right here where we're getting ready to go. He said, take your king. So David took his crown off. He took his robe off. And all he was bare before the Lord. Not naked. He had his linen ephod on. And he danced with all his might before the Lord. They go a space. They blow the trumpet. I want you to blow it three times down this aisle. March. Three spaces. All of you down. And then at the end of that space, I want you to blow the trumpet. Because this is what David did. Come on. Some of you are not getting this. Some of you are not getting it. You know what that was saying? Behold, your king cometh. David said, open the gates and your king shall go through. Woo! They march another few spaces. Then they blow the trumpet again. Here it comes! Here it comes! Here it comes! You know what? Your king's coming again. You know what? He's going to come back with a shout, and the trumpet's going to sound again, and all the earth shall know that he is king. He is a righteous king. He is the God. Amen. We may have to finish this, or somebody's going to have to finish this. Wow, David dancing with all of his might. Don't criticize these musicians, because they're up there worshiping God with all their might. All their might. Man, I like it when they get in the zone. I like, where's Robbie? Man, I like it when he's preaching up there on those drums, sweat pouring everywhere. You know why? Because he's playing before the Lord with all of his might. Josh, preach before the Lord with all your might. Don't hold back. Some of you are setting requirements for your God and following him. Well, Lord, I'll follow you, but just don't ask me to do this, or I won't do this or that. Then you're not all in it. Sorry. Don't mean to hurt your feelings. Maybe your feelings need hurt just a little. Then they march a few more spaces. Come on. And then they brought the presence of the Lord. And the Bible said they put the Lord. Bring him up here, guys. Set the ark up here. And they set the ark, the Bible said, in its place. Your life will never be blessed until God is in his place in your heart. You can go through the motions. You can go to church. You can have 100 Bibles in your home. You can listen to K-Love. You can do all those things. You can wear Christian t-shirts. But if he is not in the center of your heart, your life will never be blessed the way God intended it to be blessed. Do you understand what I'm saying? That doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. He does love you. Then they say, blow the trumpet again. give him a shout of praise. Come on, somebody let go and give him a shout of praise. Thank you all. Y'all did awesome. Thank you all. Now don't get comfortable, Dakota. Don't get comfortable. Just sit up here. Because you're going to do that again in a minute. There are people in this room this morning holding back in your faith. David didn't care what anybody thought about him. Listen, if you spend your life worrying about what people think about you, I've been in that boat. I've been in that boat trying to please everybody. Listen, I've been in that boat as a pastor trying to please everybody. And I am convinced that 100% I can't please everybody. How many knows you can't please everybody? Some of you can't even please all the people in your family. Some of you can't please all the people at your work. Some of you can't please everybody, all your friends. And as David danced before the Lord with all his might, peering from a lofty window, better not stand on that thing, but was the closest person to his life, his wife. And the Bible said she criticized him. She criticized him. Guess what? When you truly want to follow Jesus with all your heart, there's going to be an obstinate criticism and resistance to your walk. It's just going to happen. Serving Christ isn't about everything being easy. Where do we get that? You're going to have to pay a price. And that means following. That means sometimes letting things go in your life. Letting your pride go. Letting your selfishness go. Let your human ways go as much as we can. And we're not going to be perfect at it. But Michael criticized his wife. Michael was her name. When David, sit down for just 1 minute. We're closing. Let me borrow Heath. Heath borrowed that from me, I guess. Or some, I don't know who borrowed it from who. But this is not over-informating you. I'm not trying to over-informate you. I'm not trying to give you a bunch of dead facts. This is reality. This is truth this morning. When David walked into his home, instantly he was criticized for making a fool of himself before his subjects and before his wife. People are not going to shout in your corner when you're truly trying to follow Jesus. They may not mean anything bad. They're not trying to be mean necessarily. They're not trying to be all negative. They just don't see what you see. They haven't experienced what you've experienced. Just be real in front of people. Live your life in front of people. And when God knows it, He'll allow them to see the realness in you. That's a door for you to testify. You're testifying. Give testimony. So he was criticized because he danced before the Lord with all of his might. You know, this ministry is constantly criticized. We're not perfect. We make a lot of mistakes. We mess up. I don't care how lofty and how shiny the place might be, everybody messes up. And everybody makes mistakes. Everybody goofs up. Please stay with me. Say, I'm with you, Pastor R. Listen to this word all. Let me define it for you. The whole of, used to referring to the quantity and extent or duration. All the way. All the way. All the way. Are you all the way in? Or are you partially in? Are you all the way in, or are you partially in? Risk all. Risk all. I think about the great people in this country, nation, who has helped shape this nation. When I think about men who shape where we are spiritually right now in their life, it cost them their life to keep the faith. And I'm not saying that to scare you, to make you think, but fear is an element in us not giving our all. Because there are people today that need to come to Christ, but they're afraid. I've heard them tell me, I'm afraid I can't live it. Guess what? If the devil ever told the truth, that's the truth. Because you can't live it yourself. That's why he gave you the power of the Holy Spirit, so you could live the faith and carry out his mission and his purpose in the earth. So today, I know there's an element of fear. But I remember what the Lord said in Deuteronomy. He said, love the Lord your God with all your soul, all your strength. I remember what Paul said in Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, whatever work, do it with all. Passionately, in other words. Do it passionately. If you want somebody to have what you've got and you're trying to convince them what you've got is better than what they got, then you've got to be passionate about what you have, or they're not going to be a part of it. If you're miserable doing what you're doing, guess what? People are miserable in the bars today. People are miserable on drugs. People are miserable in their life going 1,000 different directions. But if you want to give them hope, then whatsoever you work at in your life, do it passionately with all your heart. That doesn't just have to be a ministry. My ministry for 30-some years was sitting in the classroom in front of a lot of little kids. And God spoke to my heart one day when I was all messed up about my ministry. How many knows it's not mine, it's not yours, it's his? Turn to somebody and say, it's his. Because if it's yours, guess what? Kaplut. It's going to fall off. But if it's his, do it passionately. But I talk in front of kids. I put more masks. Not saying that everybody's got to do this crazy stuff. I sat down the floor with them. I made mud pies. I made clay dinosaurs. I screamed. I hollered. I jumped up and down. I acted crazy. But in all that craziness, somehow God resonated something inside of them. Who is this crazy old Mr. Reynolds? Who is it? So allow me to speak a powerful truth. Live a powerful truth in front of them. That you don't have to be perfect to follow Jesus. I do believe you have to be a little crazy. You do, Josh. You got to be a little crazy. Because you got to think that Jesus did some pretty crazy things himself. That's why people were messed up by him. Spitting in the mud, sticking in somebody's eyes, that's pretty crazy. Walking on water, it's pretty crazy. Going to a tomb and telling dead people to get out of it, that's pretty crazy. Walking into a leper colony and listen, putting his hand on a leper that nobody else wanted to have to do with and they were clean, that's pretty crazy. But you know what? He's called you to do great and mighty things. And this is where we're going to close right here today. There are so many things here that there's no way that we could share it in this moment of time. But we've got to be willing to risk it all. We've got to be willing to come and just follow and risk it all. You know, I tell people all the time, listen to me, carefully. I counsel marriages and premaritals all the time. And I say this to people who are dating. If the person you're trying to date is not as passionately after your God as you are, you don't need to be in that relationship. Oh, got a little bit, not a lot that time. That's a little hurting stuff right there. Oh, I can shout, I can raise my hand in the heaven stuff, but now, oh, well, you're meddling right now, Pastor. If their heart is as not as passionately after your God as you are, they're going to pull you back. They're going to hold you down. It's truth. That's why Paul said, he gave a strong recommendation about who we have our relationships with in life, about being unequally yoked. But this morning, it's about risking all. Following Christ is risky. It's risky business. It's risky today. I want you to listen to these four words right here. Commitment, sacrifice, endurement equals fulfillment. Because it's not just about bumping an altar, it's about staying the distance and finishing the course. And even when you're facing a sword, you write a letter from a prison and say, I finished my course, Timothy. I fought the fight. I've kept it to the end. Now, therefore, there is a crown laid up for me. There's something not of this world that you want to wrap your heart around. Amen. I don't want a flimsy bob at high five, man. That's all right. That poison ivy won't bother me. If I was out hunting ginseng in the woods today, it might. But know this. Everybody say, hang on. Huh? Okay. All right, hang on, Larry. Everybody say, hang on, Larry. Can't you see him biting at the bits over there? He said, look me out. Look me out. You get up in the morning, you face that challenge, and you say, let me at it. Let me at it. Right here. I don't turn there. If you want to write down your margin of your Bible, that's fine. Matthew 14. Jesus came walking on the water. Let's all pair this phrase in about 1 minute. He came walking on the water one night. He sent his disciples ahead of him out in the ship. He knew where that ship was going. He knew what that ship was going to be about. There came a big storm. And suddenly, Jesus said, So he went out and he said, I'm going to go to him. He started walking on that water. Walking on that water. You know what I'm looking at here today? A room full of water walkers. A room full of world changers. You don't know what you got. You need to wake yourself up and say, something bigger is living inside of me. Something bigger than I am. Some of you just need to let go. Everybody shout, let go. So here he came in the storm, the rain, the wind. Suddenly those disciples with water in their eyes and being tossed about looked out there and they saw what they thought was a ghost walking on the water. But it wasn't a ghost. It was the Holy Ghost. It was Jesus. It was God. Came walking on the water to those men and they were marveled. They amazed. At first they were afraid and they were scared. Once Peter recognized it was Jesus, he said, Jesus, if that's you, let me come to where you are. Listen to this word. Jesus said, come. That's what Jesus is saying here this morning to you. Just come. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to theologically wrap your mind around it. Don't try to figure out this God that's greater than the universe. Figure out who He is and how He works. Just trust Him. Just believe Him. Take that step. Take that walk. Jump off the edge and say, Jesus, I'm going to follow You. I'm going to risk it all. He said, come. Come, Chris. Come. So Peter had an audience. He had all those other disciples. I don't know what they said. The dialogue's not in the scripture. But I bet some of them said, he's crazy. Does he know what he's doing? Men don't walk on water. There are some of you living by other people's limited faith. There are some of you not following Jesus all the way because you have limited your following by other people's weaknesses and criticisms. He said, come. So Peter said, well, I don't know a man that's ever done this before. I know some that step into the river and the river parted. So what's going to happen when I step over this boat? Some of you this morning are going to say, what's going to happen when I give it all to Jesus? Get ready for an adventure. Get ready for a world beyond the world that you know. Get ready for something amazing. Get ready for something awesome. Get ready for something incredible. Get ready. Some of you say, well, I'm not experiencing it yet. Maybe the reason you've not experienced it because you're still hanging on to your boat. So here he was. All right, Jesus, I trust you. And he had his eyes on Jesus, and he let go of the boat. And the moment he let go of his past, he let go of his disillusionment, as he let go of his doubt, as he let go of his fear, the moment he let go, this is incredible. People don't do this. Erica, people don't do this. People are going to look at your life and say, they can't do this. We've been criticized because we're building this building up there at Lost Creek. They say they don't have finances. They don't have a lot of rich people. They don't have this. They don't have that. But we got God. That was your cue to shout. That was your cue to shout. You don't need all that other stuff. His eye was on Jesus. This is amazing, Lord. This is amazing. I'm walking. I'm walking with purpose. I'm walking in destiny. I'm walking. I'm changing the world. But suddenly, resistance. Suddenly, doubt. Suddenly, he saw the storm. Some of you here today, you've walked on water. You know what it means. But just a second, you took your eyes off the Lord and you started doubting. You started looking at other people's mess ups. You started looking at other people's imperfections. You started looking at other people's wrongs. You started the enemy criticizing you. And, oh, listen. Calling you out. And you begin to see and you begin to doubt. Suddenly you begin to sink. You begin to sink. The moment you take your eye off of Jesus, friend, you're going to sink. The moment you take your eyes off of Him who's taking care of you, your life will begin to sink. Your faith will begin to sink. How many's ever had their faith sink before? How many's ever gone something and your faith? How many's ever been hit in a jaw before and your faith begins to sink? How many's ever had life give you an uppercut and you begin to sink? How many's ever looked at the storm and you begin to sink? This is what the Lord's saying. Get your eyes back on me, Peter. Get your eyes back on me, church. so he cried out, and the Lord heard him and lifted him up. Now listen carefully. This is it. And Jesus said, Peter, you've got little faith. Now preachers call Peter out here, and they criticize him tremendously. They tell Peter he failed. No, he didn't fail. Well, he did in the sense that he took his eyes off the Lord. Because he had more faith than those that stayed in the boat. He had more faith than those that stayed on the boat. I look at some of these young believers in here this morning. They don't have their theology right. They don't have all their doctrine right. They're not shiny. They're not maybe polished. They're not schooled. They've not been in church. They don't have a church background. But right now, God's using them to change people around them. Amen. Peter had more faith than all of them in the boat. Even though he sunk, he got his eyes back on Jesus. He risked all that day. And he did amazing things. In fact, it was later that Jesus told Peter, Peter, upon this rock, upon your faith, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell is not going to prevail against it. Peter denied the Lord also. Did you read that part? Peter also denied the Lord the day, the passionate week of his crucifixion. He denied the Lord. He ran. He went back fishing. But he risked all. It was Peter, remember, who died upside down, who was crucified upside down, because he believed enough in this that he risked all to follow Jesus. Now, Larry.
Yeah, I got a quick word. Taking off the old man, putting on the new is the best feeling in the world for me. And I don't know, I don't want to give just 100%. I want to give 120% because he's worth it.
That's your challenge. He gave you a challenge today. That was the altar call for you. And if you're not giving it all, I don't mean that you've got to come to church X amount of times. It's not about what goes on necessarily in this building. It's what goes on in your heart. That's the most important thing. But listen, if something's going on in your heart, you're going to be about what God wants you to be about. Amen? Amen. Right here. When this trumpet's blowed, that's your sound. You heard the word, and God's challenging you. Will you be all in today? Will you risk it all? Will you be willing to risk it all? Will you be willing to take a chance? Will you be willing to go after God with all, everything this morning? Will you be willing to go after Him with all? And if you have given all at times in your life, but life has hit you and you're off track, then today is the time to readjust your faith and let God get you back on track so you can follow Jesus with all this morning. All that is in you. All that is in you. All that is in you. Could you bow your head for just a second? Bow your head and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you right now. If you're healed, if you're here this morning, and all this, whether it makes sense or makes no sense at all, I'm going to ask you a question. For what you right now know or don't know in your heart, even maybe you don't have it figured out, but you know in your heart this, that there is a powerful thing stirring inside of you, challenging you to give it all to Him. 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 I give it all, Lord. I give it all. I'm not holding back. I'm not holding on to anything. I'm just going to let it go. I'm going to let go of whatever's keeping me from You. And I'm going to follow You. I'm going to follow You. Regardless of what people say, regardless of how people criticize me, regardless of what the public may think, I'm going to give You all. I'm going to lay it down this morning to You. If you're here this morning and you truly, truly want to give Him all, slip your hand up with mine real quickly. Come on, be honest this morning. Be honest if you're here this morning. Thank You for those hands. Come on. Who else will slip your hand up and say, I need to give it all. 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 Lord, I'm going to give You all my marriage. I'm going to give You all my marriage. I tell people all the time, quit worrying about going after this or that, this thing or that thing with all your might. Go after God with all your might. Then God will work all the other stuff out in your life. Just go after Him. So slip your hand up with mine and say, that's me, Pastor R. I'm going to give it my all. Thank you for being honest. I'm going to give Him all. I'm going to give Him all this morning. I don't give a part of my life or a piece of my life. I want to give Him just a little bit of my life, but I want to give Him my all. Slip your hand up and you can put it right back down. Anyone else this morning? God bless that hand and those hands. Many hands. Many hands have gone up. This many hands have gone up. Many honest hearts. God bless you. Thank you. Many honest hands. Many honest hearts this morning. I want to give all. Then what God's going to do this morning, I feel directed by the Holy Spirit to do this. This shofar horn's going to blow as long as Dakota can blow it. And if you want to put God where He really needs to belong in your life, in your marriage, your home, your relationship, your personal life, if that is you this morning, this trumpet's going to blast. And I want you to put God where He needs to be this morning in your life. Just simply give Him full access into your heart and your life this morning. Those that raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to do something courageous. Get out of the boat this morning. Let go of it and just come. Let go of it and just come. Let go of it and just come. Let go of it. I'm going to count to three, and when that third number, that trumpet's going to blow, I want you to give it all right now. Give it all. Many of you are already coming. 1, 2, 3. Come on. Try to figure Him out. Don't try to figure Him out. Come on. Bring your family. Bring your loved ones. Bring whoever. Come right now. We give Him all, Lord. We give Him all. I give You all, Lord, right now. I don't hold anything back. I'm not holding it back. I'm giving it right now, Lord. Come on. There's many others raised their hand and you're still not responding. Come on. Jesus is saying, come. Come on, water walker. Come on, world changer. Come on. I can see something in you, Jesus said to Peter, that your friends can't see. I can sense something in you, Peter, that others can't see. Come on, Peter. You can do it. Jesus is telling you this morning, come on, you can do it. You can do it. Listen, I've run out of breath. I've actually run out of physical breath. I wish I could scream right now, but I can't do it. God's saying, come, and some of you still need to, but you've not responded. Come. I believe God. I believe this is a day that will make a tremendous difference in your life. If you slipped your hand up, come on. If you're sitting there saying, well, I can't do it today, then you're holding back right now. Come on. Let's all stand to our feet. Come on. One motion. Come on. Those that's not responding, come on. Come on. We're going to pray a corporate prayer together. Lord, give me the breath to finish this. Give me the breath to finish this, Lord. Come on. Just tell somebody to get out of your way and you can come on. Just say, excuse me. I've got some business to take care of with the Lord. Come on. Jesus is seeing things in you that you're not seeing right now. You say, I can't figure it out. You'll never figure it out. I'm sorry. My son has testified to that as analytical as he's been in his life. That day he came, he risked it all. And he really said, I don't know if this is going to work or not, God, but I'm going to give it all right now. I'm going to make that step right now. Come on. You won't relent until you got it all. Come on. I'm waiting right here. I want to pray with you today. Lord, I'm going to get out of the boat today. Woo! I'm going to get out of my, I'm going to step out of my comfort zone today. I'm going to step outside my comfort zone. Come on, the Lord's winding it down. Come on. Come on. I'm waiting for somebody else to respond. Then we're going to all pray together up here. Come on. Give him all right now. Give it everything. Give him everything. Lord, I give you my finances. I give you my job. I give you my family. I give it all to you right now. You take it and you make it what you want it to be. Come on. Don't figure it out. Come on, just come on. Somebody real close, come on. We're going to get ready to pray right now. Woo! The Lord says, I see something in you, Peter. I'm going to do amazing things in you. Come on, we're ready to pray. Few more seconds. Come on. Pick it up. Come on. Come on right now. Somebody else. Adventure. Come on, talk to him. getting ready to pray. Come on. Ready. I'm gonna walk on water. I'm gonna walk on water. No music. Come on. Wow. Come on, sing it from your heart again. Man, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard.
Powerful word. You know, as we pray, I kept thinking during that word what it's like to be a dad. How many dads and moms we have in here? And I've got three wonderful children, and God has blessed me because, you know, as you get older, you see things in different perspective. Now I have a 20-year-old, and I have 17-year-old soon to be, and then I have an 8 soon to be 9-year-old, so I've got the full spectrum. And so I've seen these kids as they grow. How many have seen your kids as you grow? And hang with me, we're going to pray. But let me just say this: how many has watched your little child when they first start getting a little independent? They first start getting a little bit of spunk to them, and they go a few feet and they get scared and they look back. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They look back to make sure dad's or mom is still there. They'll go a little bit, and then they look back, and they maybe run back a little bit. And that's a sweet, enduring quality. But sometimes maybe spiritually that's where we are. We go a little bit. We get a little freedom, a little excitement, but we look back at our old life, afraid to get too far. Don't want to get too far out there. But how many knows it's a beautiful thing when those young children, and it's a scary thing as a dad, but it's a beautiful thing when they sprout their wings and they say, I'm going to run. And they don't look back anymore. You were made to run. We were made to run. How many this week will say this? Let's not look back. Let's not look back. Being a kid has its place. It's a beautiful thing. But God sees world changers. He sees runners. And I see people that are going to run after him with everything they've got Monday through Sunday. Amen? So let's pray. Let's agree on that. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this powerful word, for this challenging word, Lord. Lord, may that not be us. We know it is at times. But Lord, that we get to a place in our life where we say, Lord, we want some of you, but just not too much. I heard one person, Lord, I say that we want the David that kills giants and chases off demons with the flute, but we don't want the David who's king. We're like Saul. Heavenly Father, let us be all in. Let us want all of you, not just the giant killer, but the king of our lives, to make you king, to make you first, to run after you with everything we have and not look back, Lord. Lord, the time that the toddlers are gone, we've toddled around long enough, and that has its place, but it's time to move on. It's time to run like the wind, and it's time to run out there and change this world. We've been called to do great things through you, through your blessing, through your anointing, through your calling, through the power of your blood, through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. So, Heavenly Father, I pray a prayer over this group, this congregation, that we all run. Run like we've never ran before. Run with freedom. And run with reckless abandon towards you and towards the things that your heart beats for. Towards the people that your heart beats for. The hurting. Oh, Lord, may we never be the pharisaical religious that says, oh, we put too much about the hurting. It's all about the hurting. It's all about the hurting. We love you, Lord. Let us run as a group after you. We thank you for what you've done in this place and for the miracles we've yet to see that will develop, Lord, this week. In the name of Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.